Good afternoon and welcome to the Beauty Files. I'm Juanita. I'm so glad you can join us today. We started a bit late today because we had a little technical issues. First, I'd like to say we had scheduled Dr. Baumgardner. She was scheduled to come on today on the files, and she had a medical emergency, and so she was not able to make it with us. However, we do promise to have her back because we do want people to know about this fabulous book. It's called You Are What You Wear, What Your Clothes Reveal About You. And there were so many questions that I had and with that subject, especially women now who have this thing where, and I'm guilty of it too, I keep clothes that I think I'm going to someday wear one day when I get to a certain size, if this thing is still in style. So I don't know if Jordache jeans will still be in style by the time they'll be able to fit. However, I do plan to try. So welcome to the files. But we got a great show today. We're going to be joined later by one of our author guests. I hope I'm pronouncing her name right, Andrea Pomerantz-Lustig. She is with Glamour.com, and she's also written a book. It's called How to Look Expensive. How to Look Expensive. Have money to buy clothes. No, that's not it. This is a beauty editor's secret to getting gorgeous without breaking the bank. And now we're going to be joined by Kyra Allen. Kyra is a jack of all trades. My God, I was reading Kyra's bio and information in her websites, her Twitter pages. This girl is all over the place. She can do anything and everything for you that you need to be done to look gorgeous, to be glamorized, to be stylish, to grooming, to your home. I mean, the list is endless. And I'm going to have Kyra join us, and she's going to tell us some little tidbits that she has. One, in particular, my single female friends who are online, who are doing online dating, I found this so fascinating. It's called Dating Profile Styling, and I'm going to talk to her about that and more. Kyra, welcome to the Beauty Files.
Thank you for having me.
You are amazing. I'm just going to, because I have so many questions to ask you that I'm just going to start from the beginning. How did you get started in doing all of this type of stuff? The glamorizing, styling, making people look good, feel good. How did you start doing that?
Well, when I was young, I first started liking makeup before I started liking anything else. And I just loved how you could look like yourself, but just a little bit more glamorous. And of course, I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, I was probably like 12 or 13 when I started playing with makeup, and I probably looked like Rainbow Bright at the end of the day.
Oh my
God. Didn't know anything about, blending and proper application, but just experimenting. And then from there, I went on and I started working at retail stores, and I really enjoyed helping people pick something that made them look and feel great versus just trying to make a sale. Because I'm not a hard sale person. I'm definitely a soft sell. I give you the information and enough for you to make your own decision.
Right.
So that's kind of how I initially got into it. And then I was going to school and I was getting my marketing degree. And then I got married and pregnant at around 21. So then, that kind of went to the wayside for a while. And then I kind of got back into it. My mom saw an article about a lady who was local, and she was an image consultant. And I ended up going to get some training from her. And then I just have been on a roll probably since then. And I've always liked interiors and making your space comfortable, because your house is really an extension of you, as well as like your clothes and your image and all of that. So it's all connected. It's all creative. It's all about creating this authentic look and feel for yourself.
Now, I like the fact that you said that the home is related or connected to your clothes. And, I find that interesting that you say that, because I'm thinking that if I see a woman or person who's a slob at work, I'm going to assume that her place or her house or his house is probably a pig pen or it's on the show Hoarders.
Well, I mean, I don't have any cases to kind of example that, but my guess would be probably yes, just just because if you don't take the time to do well in your image for yourself, why would you be doing that in your house? I mean, just from working in retail, how people would come in and just leave the dressing room a mess. The clothes are all on the floor. They're, you know, they never would hang anything back up. I'm like, really? You know, you do this at home? My assumption is, yeah, you probably do, because you're not respecting other people's things. And why would you respect your own stuff if it's like that? Like, whatever, you know?
So when people came to you into the retail part, and when you were doing retail, did you automatically, I mean, not even coming to you into the store, but, you know, every day, you saw someone and you're like, you're a hot mess, and I need to take you and show you that how much of a hot mess you really are. Let me guide you into the land of style.
Yeah, I mean, I don't quite say it like that. I mean, that conversation goes in my head like that. Like, oh, my God, she has no mirrors, no friends, or what? Why would you come out of the house like that? And I try to, you know, it's really bad because my thoughts are kind of connected to my face, so I'm trying to learn how to filter that to have the poker face. You know, I'm still working on that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I see it all the time, and I just can't turn it off. And then whoever I'm with might be like, dang, you know, I wouldn't even have thought of that, you know, whatever it was I said about the person. I'm like, I can't help it. It's just, that's what I, you know, it's inbuilt. I can't do anything about it. So.
Yeah. And then you find, do you find yourself, like, you know, always working or always wanting to consult, even when you're off, even when you're on vacation?
Yes. And people are always asking me, and it doesn't matter where I am. Someone will. I might be in the store. I don't work there. You know, I'm just walking in there shopping like everybody else. And somebody will always ask me, like, what do you think? And I'm just like, it's so funny. I don't know if they, and then sometimes I'll be coming from the gym in the morning. A lot of times I'll stop by the mall on the way home and I'll be looking crazy, you know, just been working out. And people still ask me. So I'm just like, I don't know. Maybe there's a sense that I have that opinion about it or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, I'm everywhere and I'm always, even when I've been on vacation, even when I was in Italy. But I went to Italy for a month last year, and let me tell you, I hardly saw anything that was bad. I was really, if anything, I was inspired by it because I was in Milan, you know, the capital, the fashion capital there. And it really made me think about how, as Americans, we're just lazy a lot of the times. We don't take the time to just put a little more thought into our clothing. You don't see that in Italy for the most part. You see everyone looking wonderful, and it's not like they're overdone. It's very chic and understated, and they're riding their Vespas and their bikes and whatever, and skirts and suits and whatever, and it's like they're not really doing anything, just their normal routine. So why is it that it's so hard for us to do that, or we just don't care, or I don't know.
And you made a great point when you said that about Italy, and the fact that, you know, people are riding on their Vespas in a skirt and suits, and they just look stylish, and it's not overdone. And, you know, do I dare say there are no guys with pants off their butts? I mean, I didn't even see that.
No.
See that anywhere in Italy. And
no.
It's like, if they can do that, then, you know, what is the problem with us? Or I'm not going to say all Americans, we're not all doing that, but... You know, why can't you wear your pants? I mean, why can't you look neat? And who's the, and if someone tells you, hey, you know, really not in the mood for crack today, as in your butt crack. I'm not in the mood for it. Can you pull up your pants? Why do I need to tell someone that?
I think it's unfortunate, but a lot of my daughter's friends, I do that. And even out in public when I see people, I'm like, really? I don't know if my thoughts really have a lot of power or something, because no matter... I always see a guy, and he'll have that going on, and I'll just be looking at him, and I'm thinking, pull your pants up. And then literally, he'll pull them up 2 seconds later. It's like he feels my energy coming to him. Like, maybe I should pull my pants up. I mean, it happens almost every time. Sometimes I'll say it to somebody if I feel like they're not going to cuss me out or something. But most of the time, I see it, and I'm just like, what is the problem? You know, there's a guy at one of my jobs, and he says, he does it all the time. I'm like, look, dude, I don't want to see your butt. Can you put
your exactly. I don't want to see it. I don't want to introduce myself to it. I don't need to say hello.
No.
It's your
not at all.
Good. It's a good thing that you have it, but dude,
And I don't know what that's about, you know, because the women, remember the women before, it was the thong hanging out of their pants, you know.
You know, well,
that was
the only
thing.
Well, the only thing I was mad about that is that, you know, I was too big that I couldn't do that. I couldn't carry that look. I mean, it, aside from the fact that it's a piece of underwear, and I'm seeing it at the water cooler. I don't need to see that while I'm getting some milk. I just don't.
Yeah, no.
But, you know, aside from the fact that, you know, I couldn't sport it, but, you know, that's my own personal crying game there. Let me ask you a question, Kara. If someone comes to you and they say, Kara, I just look crazy. I have all these clothes. I don't know how to put them together. What should I do? How do you approach that? I mean, how do you do a consult?
Well, before we even get to the clothes, first we'll have a conversation, because my theory is you should have a wardrobe that supports your lifestyle, whatever that is. So if you're somebody who works in an office 9 to 5, your wardrobe is going to be different from, say, me, who doesn't have an office and I travel to clients or whatever it is that I'm doing. So you know how you'll hear a lot about lists and the top 10 things you should have in your wardrobe kind of thing, but that doesn't really address the everyday person per se, because it doesn't take into account a person's body type. It doesn't take into account that they might not be an hourglass, you know, so they might not look good in a just plain button-down shirt. If they do, they need to have one with darts in it, or not a big collar, or all these kind of things. So I'll have a conversation and say, okay, what do you do on a daily, weekly, monthly basis? And what do you do in your off time? What do you do in your play time? You know, what are you doing when you're at work? Are you interfacing with clients, or are you just at your desk all day? So a lot of that gives me insight into what their world is like, so that we know, okay, you don't need 5 suits. You know, you can do with 5 dresses and maybe 1 suit when you have to go talk to a client or whatever it is that's going on. Or if you're a person who works out of your home, you know, and you just need to go meet with clients once in a while. Or maybe you're a speaker and you have presentations and you want to look presentable and credible and sophisticated, then right. Those are the kind of things that I need to know before we right. start just ramping through your closet or going out and, you know, throwing the credit card down on the counter. So I guess
that is important, that you would probably need to know what their lifestyle is, what they are, you know, what do they have to do on a regular basis, what do you get into. I mean, I guess you're almost like a shrink.
Well, yeah,
I mean, because you have to figure out what they're thinking and what they're doing. You know, it's, you're kind of like a shrink as well.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a little bit of psychology there, because you want to know how the person wants other people to see them. You want, I mean, truly here, we're not just making up an image that, you know, it has to be authentic. It has to reflect you, because that way it does come across as genuine, and that's what you want. So you have, most of the people have some idea. Most people have some idea. They just don't know how to take all that information and put it together. So okay. That's kind of what my point is. I'm asking you a lot of questions, thought-provoking questions, to say, you know, what is it that you do? How do you want someone to view you without you ever saying a word? What do you want them to know about you without you ever having to speak? Looking at your image and how you present yourself, because that's how people learn how to treat you and how to deal with you and how you present yourself in all aspects. So you can't just be showing up looking crazy, because then people are thinking, okay, this person's supposed to be a business person and they want me to pay them to do this and they look like that? No.
Right,
you know, it doesn't
right.
translate, you know. And we do live in a very visual world, and people do tend to make snap judgments. That's unfortunate, but that's just the way it is. So you want to give people as much information without you talking first as you can, so that then they'll know, oh, well, this person does sound like they know what they're talking about. Their image is reflecting exactly what they're saying about whatever they do or whoever they are. So that's kind of how you want to begin off.
And then you go into the closets or in their closets, and do you just say, okay, keep this, get rid of that. You're too big for that. You're too old for this. I mean, do you?
Well, we look at the pieces. A lot of times I'll tell people, come show me the top 3 things that the outfits you would do for, say, if you had to present at work, if you were going on a date, if you were just going out to a fancy event. Show me those outfits so I can see what it is, what you normally reach for. And then I also kind of look towards their responses to their clothes, because a lot of times people already tell you how you whether they should keep something or not, because they'll look at it and be like, oh, I love this, it's so blah, 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 and I wear it all the time. And then they'll pull out something else and they'll be like, it's okay, you know, I think it's good, it holds place for what I need, but I really would like something. Like, they're already telling you, so they don't really realize that when they're doing this on an everyday basis, but that's, you know, clothes that they don't wear is stuff that they can either make it nice so that they want to wear it, whether it's, say, a dress, adding some lace to the bottom of the hem or tailoring it so it fits better or whatever it is that you can do to upgrade it if they actually like the garment in the first place and it fits well and it's, you know, not out of style or doesn't look crazy or make them look frumpy or whatever, you know, all those things need to be taken into consideration. So I'll say, it's just about, is this the look? Is this garment representing the person you want people to know you are? Right. And if it's not, then it needs to go. You know, it's like, do you love it? Is it relevant to who you are? And is it something that you know you've gotten a lot of wear out or you will get a lot of wear out? It's those types of things you start asking so that, you know, it's a keeper or get rid of it.
That's what I was going to add. That was just going to be my next question. It's like, when do you decide or when do you tell someone, this is a keeper, this should be burned, and we should be dancing around the fire? I mean, when that's when I wanted to ask the question.
Yeah, I mean,
because
it's
I have seen people, I mean, you know, granted that there are a lot of styles that are coming back and they're trending back or whatever, but, you know, there are some styles that I truly believe are never going to ever come back on this earth, and people still have it in their closets. And I'm like, did it look good when you bought it? Because it don't look good now.
Well, I mean, a lot of things do circle back around. I mean,
yeah.
I just turned 40 this year, so I know some of the styles. You know, I love the 40s and the 50s because that's how women's dresses really fit women well, and it made them look feminine and feel feminine, and so I'm all about that. I'm not a great 70s person. I'm not built like a person who would wear clothes that were hot in the 70s, like the shift dresses straight up and down kind of thing, like Rachel Zoe. I mean, some of the stuff she wears is perfect for her because she's like Twiggy, you know, she's shaped like
exactly.
Twiggy. So but that doesn't do anything for me. So I don't wear things like that. And I know that enough about my body to know that. And 90% of the women, that's their problem, is they don't know how to dress the body they have today. Maybe they were smaller, maybe they've had children, maybe some have even had cancer, you know, they've had surgeries, they've had all these things happen. So they don't know how to dress their body today. And that becomes the problem because after a while for women, you kind of stop seeing yourself over time, you know, unless you've seen a picture lately or someone who you haven't seen in a while sees you and they're like, whoa, you know, what happened? Or you see this picture and you're like, man, I really was smaller there or whatever. However you look, so you kind of lose track. And I guess that's my thing is you have to kind of keep yourself updated. You have to take inventory every once in a while and say, does these pants really still fit? Or are they a little, I mean, I've seen people walking around, I don't know how they got in the pants. I would think you'd had to been greased up and hoisted onto, you know, a crane to get into the thing. And then how are you getting out of it? Because it's like, I don't know, how is your breathing. I don't understand, you know, and I don't get that, but that's just me. So I'm like, okay. So yeah, you really need to have someone who, you know, is going to be honest with you because a lot of people won't tell you, unfortunately, and, you know, want to hurt your feelings. They don't want to be on the bad side. And there's a way to say it. You can be tactful and just be like, yeah, I think maybe you should probably get another pair or something. You don't have to be like, girl, you look fat and you need to take them off right now. I mean, I don't even talk like that. I don't say that to people. That's just rude, you know. Might be thinking it in my head sometimes when I see people, but I don't know, you know. But it's like, you got to learn how to just be tactful.
The most precious thing that I saw, do I even dare use the word precious, but one of the most precious things that I saw the other day, I was in my car and literally almost had an accident because I wanted to take a picture of a glamour don't. Because this woman, what made it so precious is the way she walked. She had so much presence when she walked. She was walking down the street and she was on the phone and she was heavy set. Her hair, you know, flowing, whatever. But what's so precious about it is that she had a skirt on that was flowing, and you could see her Spanx flowing in the wind. And I looked and I said, I'm going to take a photo of this because I've got to let people see. But what made her so fabulous is she just was walking, strutting. I'm looking for the runway and the paparazzi. I mean, this woman was no care in the world, but the Spanx was showing in the wind.
Wow.
As her dress flew up, oh, beige color Spanx.
Yeah.
Wonder if she knew that was showing.
Yeah, I've seen that too, and I'm kind of like,
oh, you have? Okay.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I don't know. I mean, I think that's one of the things I tell people. I just actually gave a speech. I'm in Toastmasters, so I gave a speech about how to be a fashion don't. And one of the things I said in the end of the speech was, look, you got to take a little more time. You know, it takes just as much time to dress poorly or sloppily or whatever as it does to dress well. So what's the difference? Like, why not, you know, give it a little more thought than just throwing on the sweats and bouncing out the door? And you at least got to look in the mirror, the front and the backside. And most people have somebody that lives with them or around them that they could ask, you know, like, how do you think this looks, you know? My daughters are my checkpoint. You know, I'll say, here, what do you think? Me choose that shoe, whatever. You know, how's this?
Right.
You don't know everything, and everybody needs a second opinion. Even people, like we say in the business, every image consultant needs an image consultant. Because you don't know after a while. You lose track about how you look or whatever the case may be. But just for second opinion, it doesn't mean that you're wrong. It just means, you know, you want to know that this, what you're wearing is flattering to you, and it's not making you look crazy, and your Spanx aren't showing. Like, you know, we don't need to do that.
I'm gonna take a break in a few minutes, but because after the break, I want to spend a little bit more time because I'm gonna be joined later by Andrea Lustig too. But one of the things that I found so interesting about your business is that, and I guess this is like I said for my single women, dating profile styling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, you know, is it going to be fake? It's like, because, you know, most guys are, oh, you know, yeah, this picture was photoshopped, and you really did have three chins, and now it looks like you don't have none. You know, what's up?
Well, the guys need to talk, because they need some help, too. I mean, really, come on.
Yeah,
and they're just as bad or worse.
I mean, you're saying you're 6 feet tall, and you're coming to the restaurant.
Well, exactly.
And like, you know, I'm,
and you need a booth to sit down at the chair.
Exactly. The plane. No, you said 6 feet, not 5 feet. You said six.
Right. No.
Yeah, exactly. Did I read that? Let me pull it up right here. Here it is, 6 feet. Yeah. I didn't see a 6 feet man come in here.
Yeah.
I mean, is that a great business? I guess it is because a lot of people are online dating now.
Well, really, the first thing you need to start with is a great picture. I mean, and obviously one that's been taken in the last year, not the last century. So something that accurately reflects who you are today, or at least in the last year, you know, something like that. And it doesn't have to be an expensive picture. It's just a nice, normal picture. You know, you can do, I guess, four length or just a headshot or whatever the parameters are and what they allow. But just a simple picture, you smiling, looking normal, not crazy, you know. Because there's a lot of pictures you're like, what in the world?
Not the yearbook picture, huh?
No. You know, I mean, and there's a lot of people in business that do that. I'm just getting my real estate license, so I've seen a lot of pictures of realtors that look like they were taken like 10 years ago. Because I'm looking at you, and this picture does not look like you.
No,
you know what I mean?
It's really, come on.
You need to update that.
Yeah. I've seen the yearbook pictures.
Yeah, it's kind of all the same. And then just saying, being honest and open about who you are. Not saying, oh my God, I want to get married tomorrow, but, you know, just talking about what you like and as far as your hobbies and things that you're interested in and all that kind of stuff. I think a lot of times people just give people too much information on there or not enough.
I totally agree with that. That so much information that you're just like, wow, okay. Killing Him Softly with his song. I mean, why are you telling me all this information? I don't like I don't like my fish cooked a certain way, but if you buy me, you know, salmon, I'll eat it. Why do I need to know that? Just tell me the, you know, I think that's the problem. I think we as a society, especially dating, and I will say this, and I'll probably get some feedback from this, but a lot of women, when they're dating, they appear to be so, so desperate that they'll take anything.
Yeah, well, they are. That's the problem. And then the other problem with that is that most men can smell desperation a mile away.
Right.
So either they're going to run away or they're going to use that to their advantage. So either way, it's not going to be favorable for you.
And either way, you're going to look so desperate. You're going to come in. You're going to have something that's very inappropriate. But you figure, okay, I have to look sexy. I mean, there's a fine line between sexy and slutty. And so it's like, you know, where am I?
Most
what am
people
I
are laying on the line. They haven't just danced up to it. They're laying down on it. So,
well, I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back with you. I'm going to spend about 5 more minutes with you, and then I'm going to bring on Andrea. Welcome back to The Beauty Files. I hope you are enjoying our conversation today with Kyra Allen. And she is giving us some wonderful tips. And when she comes back, I just want her to answer one other question, and that is about body shape analysis and personal shopping. So give us about another minute or a couple of minutes, and we'll come back to you on the other side of the break. Which is beautiful. Welcome back. If you're just joining us, you missed a wonderful conversation I had with Kyra Allen of KyraAllen.com. That's KyraAllen.com. She is a stylist. She does all types of grooming services. She helps you with your interior. She helps you glamorize your whole life, and she is spectacular. I love talking with her, and I wish I had more time to spend with her, but I promised this before we took a break. I wanted to find out about the body shaping. How do you very casually tell someone, you know what, I think that may be for your daughter and not for you?
Well, part of that is the usefulness of a garment or an outfit, too. But the body shape is more about, okay, are you littler on top and bigger on bottom, or little on bottom or bigger on top. And we try to be kind with this. I learned this from Stacey London of what not to wear. She's my boss and one of my, in her company, staff for hire. And she doesn't like referring to women as fruit. So like the pear, the apple shape, the, all of that.
Yeah.
She prefers to say like little on top, small, you know, that kind of thing. So you want to find out what your body shape is so that you know what clothes are going to fit you and flatter you the best. So the obviously the ultimate body type is the hourglass, because it's balanced, it's easy to dress, and so forth. So with every other type, like the smaller on top, bigger on bottom, which would kind of be like a pear, you want to mimic the hourglass in that. So you're going to wear something on top that's going to balance the bottom and not make you look, you know, like J-Lo was a classic kind of a pear shape. So you always see her with things that accentuate her curve, but it, she tends to wear things on top with the shoulders that make her look a little more broader or not as smaller on top, just to accentuate the shape. Because really, your measurements are taken with the shoulders, not your bosom. It's the shoulders, the waist, and then the hips. Because that's how you determine if you have more than 10 inches between your shoulders and your waist area, that's how you know you're an hourglass in that sense. Because it's, you have to have more than 10 inches to have that balance. So that's basically what we do, is we determine, you know, if this is what's going to work for you based on your particular body type and make you look like this hourglass. We'll fake it if you don't have that shape. So that's how we do it. We take the measurements and then we go through and say, okay, this type of dress, like a wrap dress, would be perfect for you, which the wrap dress is pretty much perfect for every type of body type, pretty much.
So you said you don't use fruit as an example. So the apple, the pear, the cucumber. I mean, I don't know. What else?
Yeah, it's used like the apple, the pear. I forgot
squash.
What the other ones. Because
we
don't really use them so much because, you know, you don't want people to feel like fruit. You want them to feel like a hot, sexy woman, you know. That,
right.
And fruit doesn't really do it for you. So it's more or less just saying, you know, bigger on top, smaller on bottom, or smaller on bottom, bigger on top, or even, you know, no discernible waistline, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Like a rectangle kind of shape.
And so, and is there a specific thing that a person who is a pear shape should avoid? I guess we're not using the word pear, but person that is shaped like that should avoid?
Oh, yeah. There's, for every particular body type, there's a book that's called The Science of Sexy that I really, really like that gives you great tips. It'll show you, it tells you how to take your measurements, and then it'll show you what's great about your shape, and then what things you have problems with. Because, say, like for me, I'm very petite. I'm 4'11 and a half, so I'm under 5 feet. I'm an hourglass, but I'm short. I'm short-waisted, but I have longer legs. So my problem with two-piece things like a blouse and a pants is I'll have the option vertical, the visual option of optical illusion almost, of looking like I'm cut in half, kind of, because my legs are always going to look longer than the top half of me, and that's not balanced.
Okay.
So for me, I always opt for dresses because a dress covers the whole body.
Right.
And it doesn't, you don't have that vertical line in the middle of trying to, unless I'm wearing something that's black on top, black on bottom, then you don't notice it as much. If you have like color, like all head to toe color, then you don't notice it as much. But that's my challenge, being that if I was normal waisted, say, and had normal legs, then it wouldn't be an issue. But because my legs are longer than the top half of me, then that causes a problem.
Right.
So I shouldn't wear things, I think that it's told me, I shouldn't wear things that hit on the widest part of my hips, because I do have hips. I'm a size zero, but I'm a curvy size zero.
Oh, my God. Okay, what is that, a size zero? What is that? Does that mean that,
well,
I mean, what is that? I don't know what that means.
Know,
Mommy, I'm scared. What is that?
One of my dad's cousins used to be a dress designer back in the day for Bergdorf. He was one of the first African Americans that did these things. And by those standards and those times, I wouldn't be a zero. I'd be more like a 6'8". But because Americans have consistently gotten bigger, they keep shrinking the measurements to make us more smaller. you know, in that way. So, I mean, I wear, in say, like an Ann Taylor, I wear an extra, extra small in their dresses.
Wow.
Because they make them so big. You know, technically, I really would be like a 6'8", probably. But, you know, that's just the way it rolls right now. So,
I kind of like that, though. I mean, you know, make it bigger so I can look like I wear a smaller size.
Right. It's forgiving.
Yeah.
It's definitely
it's very forgiving.
Forgiving.
If you're a size 0, Mike, you know, really? What
yeah,
is that?
You know, we catch flack for that. But it's like, I eat. I'm a person. I'm not a salad-eating chick. I like to eat. So it's not that I'm tiny and skinny, you know, looking crazy. When I was younger, before I had children, I was very small. I mean, I was 90 pounds before I had kids. I had, like, I had always had hips, though, for whatever reason. But I was very small, yes.
And,
so now
and now you're size 11. I mean, and now you're size 0, and I can't.
Yeah, but then I've probably been a negative 4.
Well, yeah, and there goes the magic. I don't know what that means. It's like 0. What is that? You mean 1-0?
Well, for a long time they didn't even have size 0. They used to start everything at 2. And the problem I had was everything was huge, and I had to have everything altered. And it was so much fabric that it almost made the garment unwearable, you know. So it was a great thing that a lot of the retailers started realizing there were a lot of us that are just petite in size and needed those smaller clothes because, you know, it just got to be too much. And I couldn't find any one place that really catered to me in that way. So it was very frustrating.
Oh, darn. And, you know, that's a problem, you know.
Not well, as I'm sure
too much
it is
fabric
for my,
or not enough
my,
fabric.
Well, yeah, I mean, for our really tall women, they have the same problem, not having enough. And then for our, you know, our full-figure women, same thing. We are at the extreme option, you know, exact opposites of each other. We have the most problem. The people in the middle usually have the best selection because there's more, you know, it caters to them more or less than the petite and the tall people and the full-figure women.
Kara Allen with KaraAllen.com. I thank you so much for joining us. I could spend another hour with you, and I want your promise that you will come back because I want to have you on the show when we talk about New Year's Eve parties and looking the part. Yeah, and Christmas parties, New Year's, you know, what's that dividing line between arriving to the office Christmas party as the office skank or arriving to the office Christmas party and have your job the next day?
Yeah, that's a whole other conversation.
We're going to have you back for that show. But I thank you so much for spending some time with us talking about style and glamour and how to update our wardrobe and our closets. And it's been such a pleasure talking with you today.
It was great talking to you, too.
And if you stick around, you can hear the rest of our conversation because we're going to be joined in a few or I guess in about a minute with Andrea Pomerantz Lustig. And I hope I'm pronouncing her name right. Andrea, welcome to the Beauty Files.
Hi, Juanita. How are you? Thanks for having
me. I'm fine. How are you?
Great. Thanks.
First of all, Andrea, am I saying your name right, Andrea?
Andrea.
Andrea.
It all works for me. I worked for Helen Gurley Brown for years, and she called me Andrea.
Loving your book. I got your book a couple of days ago. I have not been able to put it down. It is like a Bible, and I have little bits and pieces of paper all in this book. This is one of the best written books I've read about beauty in a very long time. Thank you so much for bringing this to us.
Oh, thank you. That makes me feel so good.
Now, the name
of
the book,
kind
of in case
reaction.
You all don't know, is called How to Look Expensive, The Beauty Editor's Secrets to Getting Gorgeous Without Breaking the Bank. It is, people, run out and get this book if you want to look expensive. I'm going to pluck and ask Andrea a couple of questions about the book. Why do we want to look expensive? What is that about? Why do we need to look expensive?
Today, there's two reasons. One, I like to say in the book that beauty is power. It's almost like a security blanket. And with everything that's going on in the world right now, we need whatever help we can get. And I think it's really about, you know, putting forward your best self. And I think that's one of the reasons, besides all the great advice in the book, that women are reacting to it, because it's very much about feeling, you know, when you look like a million bucks, you feel like a million bucks. And when you feel like a million bucks, you've got the power to go after whatever it is in your life that makes you happy, job-wise, career-wise, relationship-wise.
That is so true, because, you know, if I get my hair done or if I get a facial, and I don't even necessarily have to have a makeover facial, just the facial to make my face glow, I feel like a million bucks.
Yeah, it's so true. I say polished nails, polished life, you know, polished hair, polished life. It makes you feel like your personal best, and it's just, you know, little easy things you can do that don't cost a fortune that can really, you know, bring out your confidence.
Yeah, and you also break down four ways to look luxe. You have four different styles. I love the Park Avenue, but I think my favorite one is the Hollywood boho.
Yeah, I think I like to say that I'm kind of a cross myself between the Park Avenue pretty and the Hollywood boho.
Okay.
I mean, I think the Hollywood boho can go a few ways. You can go, you know, the Rihanna kind of look, you know, really kind of daring and kind of just over the top, or it could be someone like Taylor Swift who just kind of mixes it up a little bit, you know, with her. She'll never wear a red lipstick, although actually she's been wearing one lately, but usually it's fuchsia, you know, or the eyeliner instead of the black cat eye. She's got the navy cat eye. Just there's something that's a little twist. And that's the Hollywood boho. How do you do it?
Yeah, I love that, because it's like you also break it down to a point, people, where she not only tells you the different looks, she tells you how to get them, the least expensive way to get these types of looks. And one of my favorites that I saw, Andrea, was you have here how to get an expensive, even free haircut at an expensive salon.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No one would have known any of this. No one has a clue about, this is my favorite, Cry Poor. Well, that's the name of my book, Cry Poor.
It can work. You know, today salons are having just as much trouble as all of us. So, you know, Cry Poor, you can, you know, ask if you can barter. I know women who've had success taking business cards, giving them out for each you know, women they get in, they bring in each new customer, they get a free haircut or a blowout. So there are really great ways that you can, you know, get that, you know, a free haircut, you know, marketing for your salon, liking your salon on Facebook. It's amazing some of the offers that you can find on Facebook or even on some of the bargain sites like, you know, like Groupon or Lifebooker, those kind of things.
No one would have thought of that. No one would have thought about the liking on Facebook.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote about that in my, I wrote a column for 10 years. Now I write articles for Glamour, and I wrote about that when it was first starting to happen, but now it's really exploded. And if you're, you know, you like your salon, you're going to hear about things first, and you're going to hear about special offers, and they're going to do whatever, they're marketing, it's social marketing, they're doing whatever they can to bring you in. So you can get really good deals.
And I'm looking at the pictures, and I'm looking at the hair, how important hair color is, how important your hair color, and how that makes you look expensive. And you know, you bring a good point. Hair for me, when my hair looks great, when my hair looks bad, I don't feel right, and there are times where I don't go out or I don't take a job because my hair is not looking the way I want it to look. But it's amazing how a transformation of a great haircut, a great hair color, do I dare say, a great weave will make you look expensive.
Yeah, I mean, it's what I call that chapter. The hair chapter is your hair a wearable status symbol. I mean, it's just, and frankly, in my book, it's really the only status symbol you need. I mean, when you have great hair, you feel great. It's just, there's something about it, it's almost like an erogenous zone, but you can see it, the whole world, you can flirt with it, you can, you know, it just expresses who you are.
And, I mean, it just flows in the wind and just flopping around you in the convertible, it's just flying in the wind, and you're like, oh, don't hate me, because I'm just so gorgeous. I mean, it really does.
Yeah, yeah. It's totally, it's just there's a psychological link between women and their hair. And I think, you know, it's really important. It's important to just do whatever you can to have, you know, your best hair. And, you know, I give you, like, the 7 qualities of expensive-looking hair color. There are so many mistakes women make with hair color.
Oh, God, yes.
You know,
oh,
the
God.
Shoe polish hair color that looks color. Blondes going over the top so that you've got, like, one giant highlight. And, you know, it's not no long highlights. It's just one color. That's a big mistake. And I think also just kind of going over the top with hair color to look like you, I hear this all the time from some of the top hair colorists in the world, that women go in and they say, I'm spending a fortune on my hair color. And at a top salon, hair color can cost like $400, $600. And women say, where are the highlights? When the truth is, good highlights are invisible.
Right.
Not invisible, but they blend in and they bring out, you know, they make your hair look gorgeous.
Right.
You don't want to actually be able to call them out. And
yeah.
I think women get caught in that and thinking they need to see the money they spent. Does that make sense?
I see that highlight right there. No, you're right. It should be.
Yeah.
It should, you know, when the sun hits, you go, oh, my God,
yeah.
Your hair looks
yeah.
like my baby daughter's.
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing is that, you know, women, I think, in general, you know, you don't want someone to say, unless you're going for like a, you know, a really funky look and it's a party or you're going to a club, mostly you want people to say, you look fantastic. You don't want them to say, wow, your eye makeup is fantastic.
Right. Yeah, or that dress is pretty, but you don't look good in that dress.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's a pretty dress. Oh, which
right,
say, I
like
look
that
good
backhanded
that
compliment.
Right.
Yeah,
now,
it's really it's about making yourself, you know, your best self. And,
exactly. You know. And, you know, again, Andrea, I wish I had like an hour to spend with you, and I see I have about another 5 minutes, so I'm going to get everything that I've been wanting to ask you. One of them is get your makeup done for less. I love that you can go to a counter and get your
yep.
makeup done literally for free, or, you know, sometimes you may have to buy something. But there was a quote that you have in here, and you said, one woman who actually had a standing 5 p.m. appointment 3 times a week.
Yeah, at Bergdorf Goodman in New York, a fancy schmancy store.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was this legendary story of a woman who used to come in. She might have come in. She'd come in, and she'd go to the cosmetic counter, and they'd do her makeup every day, and she'd give them a discreet tip, you know, just slip the girl behind the counter a $20
right.
bill. And she'd look, you know, like $1 million, and she'd go off to some fancy event, and she'd stop at the perfume counter on her way and take a spritz.
The perfume. And by the way, do you have a hairspray? Let me throw a little hairspray. I need to change my clothes in the bathroom. That is fabulous. And you,
yeah.
and you also have here at Sephora's and at all MAC counters, you can get your makeup done for a $50 fee.
Yep. Yeah, women
That's
don't know
good.
That. That's a good trick, by the way, for Halloween.
Oh, yeah,
they do
I know.
Some the MAC stores, I think probably
myself.
Sephora, too, but the MAC stores are doing some amazing Halloween makeup, like full face masks and funny costumes.
Really?
But even just regular everyday makeup, you know, you can go in there and you can... The trick is to find a makeup artist in the store whose makeup you like, because then you're halfway there. If you
yeah.
like the way she looks, you know she'll do something for you that works for you.
And I,
you don't
and
want
I
to go up to the girl with the crazy makeup.
And, like, I want to look like, oh, yeah. And she goes, I want to make you look fabulous. This is just a facade. No, I don't want you. And I love your quote. You have, makeup is sexier and more youthful when it looks lived in. What does that mean?
That really means that makeup should look like it comes from within your skin. It shouldn't look like it's sitting on top. That's what makes it look, you know, beautiful and lived in. In fact, when I was researching the book and on my time on photo shoots, makeup artists will often take a bottle of Evian, you know, with those little spritzers,
yeah.
and actually mist over the makeup after they do it, and with the idea being that it makes it look lived in. It kind of
right.
diffuses the edges. It's almost like airbrushing.
I love that.
But,
I love that.
You know,
trick.
I think another way to get it is just with, I like to use cream makeup and using your fingers to apply it. It just automatically looks like it comes from within. The glow comes from within you as opposed to sitting on top of your skin.
And I like the glow.
Really,
because
yeah.
glow, there's glow and then there's grease. I mean, you know, glow. Yeah, there's a fine line, people. The grease is no glow.
Yeah,
I love
you don't
the glow.
Want the grease.
No,
one
you
of
don't
the
want
tips
the grease.
For the grease is the Starbucks napkins. Did you get to that in the book?
No.
That's one
yeah,
of my best
you know,
freebies. I wrote about it
the
years
Starbucks
ago in
napkins
Glamour.
Are, that is a great tip. The star, and you know, I don't know if you wrote. Have this in here, but you know those toilet paper liner, those toilet liners?
Oh my God, I never thought of
that. Really gross, and disgusting. But the toilet liners, it's the
oh
best.
Oh my God,
best
I think I'm getting
paper
that. That's
ever
a good
used.
One.
I've actually cut them up into squares and put them in my kit, and thought, and people thought I was they were
blotting. Hysterical. Well, one of the makeup artists. Talia Shobrook, who's actually an amazing artist, she does the Marchesa makeup, and she was the one who created the late Amy Winehouse's signature
wow.
eyeliner look. She told me, and it's in the book, to use parchment paper that you use for baking, which is meant, you know, it takes the grease out. So
great.
She has her celebrity clients cut that up and stick it in their bags.
Yeah, just cut it up. Go in the bathroom, a good bathroom that has the toilet liners. Cut it up. I used that
for someone. You got your toilet liners.
And they didn't know what. They go, oh, this is some great blotting paper. Isn't it, though?
I love that.
I love all your tips. And I love the fact that you use celebrities in the sense of, you know, if you like this celebrity look, then you should try to go for these types of things.
Yeah.
You know, this book, everybody, you all have got to get this book. I can't say enough about it, Andrea. It just made my day just reading it. It made my day, and I...
The sections you're talking about, I call them coucherizing your look. So kind of, you know, personalizing all the advice, like, you know, it's haute couture for you for makeup and making
and
it personal.
And you're, honestly, and I'm telling you, everyone in here, everyone who's listening, honestly, you can look expensive without going broke. If you read this book, because she has years of, you know, just getting all different types of information from the best people in the business. So,
yeah.
You know, how to look expensive is a great tool to have, and especially for those single women out there who are trying to look expensive and, you know, you don't be on the cheap trying to get a good husband or a good man if you want someone good or decent. You know, looking cheap and nasty is not going to get it. One last question. I think I have about two more minutes. I hope I do. What was the other question? Nail shape. Who would have thunk? Nail shape. The way your nails look.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can go like the Rihanna route and go really long and funky
that's
if that's your style.
Oh, that's
but
great.
You know, I show, you know, two or three really, you know, classic shapes that really always look expensive. And I think for most women, when they wear some of the funky new shades or, you know, stickers or any of the fun stuff that's out there on your nails, it looks better on shorter nails. And, you know, if nails look too square, they can look tacky. And I know personally from my own experience at my wedding, I had the ugliest nails. And I look back at the pictures now and I can't believe it. Everything I said not to do, I did. Luckily, I've learned.
Oh, my gosh. The book is called How to Look Expensive by Andrea Pomerantz-Lestig. Thank you so much for being on The Beauty File today.
Thank you,
Anita. I would love to have you on again as well to pluck your mind some more about this book.
I'd love to.
Some more
I'd love
tips.
To come back. Please invite me back.
I enjoyed you thoroughly. Thank you so much. And thank you for listening to The Beauty Files with Juanita. Join us every other Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on BBS Radio, and we will talk more about beauty, health, and fitness. The next show, we're going to talk about lunchtime beauty, how you can get beautified at lunchtime. And we're not talking about with a blusher. We're talking about serious going out, getting some work done at lunch, and coming back, and your friends are thinking, oh, my God, where have you been? You look rested. You must have done something. So stay tuned with that that show. Thank you so much, and enjoy the rest of your day. This is The Beauty Files with Juanita.